call the meeting to order. So appreciate everybody being here. Let's see. Let's first start with our welcome and introductions. We're going to begin our meeting today with a pre-planning public hearing for the planning process, the seventh cycle that we're embarking on now. So let's begin with that part. We're calling the public hearing to order. And I want to welcome everyone and ask if there are any elected officials in the audience that we can recognize and introduce. Okay. Let's see. Why don't we go ahead then and have introductions? Why don't we have a quick introduction of the folks around the table? Why don't we start with you and what interest you represent?
Jim Luther, Burnett County Counties.
Bob Ruggiero, small business, Travis County.
Melissa Grody, Texas State Soil and Water Conservation Board.
Carol Olowen, public interest.
Mitchell Sodek, GMA 8.
Paul Babb, GMA 7.
David Wheelock, industry.
Amy Malika, counties, Blanco County.
Greg Baker, Matagorda, agriculture.
Daniel Berglund, Wharton County, small business.
Kevin Churchwell, agriculture.
Mike Rager, Llano. I have my city manager from Llano here as my alternate today. Finney DeGraffenried.
Aaron Wysoon, GMA 15.
Mackerel.
David Van Dresser. Go ahead.
Environmental.
Yeah. David Van Dresser, I represent water districts.
Teresa Lutz, municipalities from Austin Water.
Len Bookout with the Water Development Board.
Carol Falkenberry, Texas Department of Agriculture.
Elvis Hernandez, representing GMA 12.
Jennifer Witt, TPWD.
Dave Lindsay, Recreation.
Earl Foster, Small Muni.
Jennifer Walker, representing Environment.
Charlie Flatten, GMA 10.
Christiane Castleberry, Water Utilities.
Lane Cockrell, GMA 9.
Fantastic. I apologize I'm late. Y'all should have seen Highway 71 trying to get in here. It's terrible. All right. All right, I'd like to open up item number 3, receive public comments on issues or provisions to be included in the seventh cycle of water planning for Region K. These public comments may be submitted orally or in writing, and public comments that are spoken orally will be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. We have several folks that have asked to speak for us. And I will just start at the top. Shannon Hamilton, if you will approach the podium, state your name, and we will be happy to hear your comments.
Good morning. My name is Shannon Hamilton. I serve as the executive director of the Central Texas Water Coalition. I'm also an alternate for recreation. First, I want to thank everyone that was involved in developing this previous plan. I participated in a lot of the meetings, and as I shared at Water Development Board for the state water plan, it was a lot. I gained a deep appreciation for both the complexity of water planning and the tremendous effort that's required to balance competing needs across our region, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. As we begin planning for this next cycle, I think it's important to remind ourselves why Region K exists. I actually went and read the bylaws last night. I don't know if any of y'all have done that, but I found them. And the bylaws state that at our foremost responsibility is the development of a regional water plan that identifies both short and long-term water supply needs and recommends water management strategies to address them. Our responsibility is to identify future needs and recommend strategies. If the watershed productivity is declining, if tens of thousands of small impoundments are changing our runoff patterns, and if new demands such as data centers are emerging across our region, then those realities must be reflected in this upcoming plan. That responsibility requires us not only to understand where we have been, but to honestly evaluate the conditions that we are likely to face in the future. As we prepare the next plan, I believe we must ensure that our water planning reflects not only historic conditions, but also those realities of our new normal that we're observing across Central Texas and those reduced inflows. A recent research commissioned by CTWC examined watershed productivity and the relationship between rainfall and inflows of the Highland Lakes. The findings indicate that while average rainfall has actually remained relatively consistent over time, our inflows and our watershed capture rate has declined significantly. In fact, 9 out of the 10 worst inflow years have all occurred since 2006. The implication is straightforward. The watershed appears to be producing less runoff from the same rainfall that it historically has produced. While additional work is needed to better understand all the contributing factors, these findings raise important questions about whether current planning assumptions fully reflect today's hydrologic conditions. One factor that deserves greater attention is the dramatic increase in our small ponds and impoundments throughout our watershed. Today, tens of thousands of private ponds capture runoff that historically flowed straight into our river. Combined with increased evaporation, land use changes, continued development, these changes may be affecting long-term availability in ways that are not fully reflected in existing planning models. At the same time, Region K continues to experience extraordinary growth. In addition to residential and commercial development, we are increasingly seeing an interest with high water intensive industries such as semiconductor manufacturing and data centers. These facilities can provide substantial economic benefits, but they can also create significant long-term water and energy demands that should be accurately reflected in future planning scenarios. The challenges before us are straightforward. The available water supplies are being overestimated, while future demands are being underestimated. We risk creating a gap between projected supplies and actual system performance during drought conditions. As we move into this next planning cycle, I respectfully encourage Region K to incorporate updated hydrologic observations and watershed productivity trends for future planning analysis, evaluate the cumulative impacts of the small ponds, ensure projected demands adequately account for emerging industrial users, evaluate whether protective water planning strategy approaches, including a safe yield and those concepts, and have strategic drought reserves should be considered as part of our future. As we have seen in other parts of Texas, communities facing prolonged drought often rely on emergency reserves to maintain water services. Those experiences remind us that reliability planning is not simply about maximizing supply. It is about ensuring communities have access to water when conditions are at their worst. We are seeing evidence that water availability may be less than historic assumptions suggest, and at the same time, demands are continuing to grow. Therefore, Region K should evaluate whether maintaining a prudent reserve through a safe yield approach would be better protection for our communities and support the sustainable water future that we all desperately need. Ultimately, the purpose of the water planning is not simply to identify future shortages, but to prevent them. The objective of our next plan should not be simply to determine how much water can be allocated. It should ensure the sustainable future for the communities, businesses, agriculture, and ecosystems that depend on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Next up, I have Carol Phillipson. If you'd like to make your way to the podium, state your name and please give us your comments.
Well, this is much better than last night's meeting since I waited almost 10 hours to speak. So thank you for taking me right away. So my name is Carol Phillipson and I'm an Austin resident and I'm just concerned about Texas water. At yesterday's House Natural Resource Committee meeting, members heard testimony from county commissioners, water, and independent AI experts, and concerned Texans from all over the state. The overwhelming concern by all, plus the committee members, were the major far-reaching decisions being made to permit construction of AI centers without reliable research and data as to how much water they presently consume and their future consumption, plus no record of their secondary use by the plants to power them. such as electricity, gas, nuclear. Many local community leaders and residents stated they were blindsided to find out data centers were planned without their input or prior knowledge. From their testimony, it made me think that data center developers do not investigate viable water sources, as many are building in rural towns presently in drought for water restrictions. The PUC in February 2026 required data centers and crypto mining facilities to report direct water usage, such each site's cooling technologies, and which power plants provide their business with electricity, information that would offer insight into the indirect water needs. However, their survey to collect this information resulted in only a 17% response, including data mining. Why wasn't this requirement enforced? Temple McCann from the TWDB survey for April 26 to 5/28 yielded only 28 company participants out of 92 data centers. This number is incredibly low, as Spectrum News reported that there are now 561 data centers in Texas. She also stated that TWDB does not include water uses from domestic use, wells, mining, or irrigation. Also, by region will not be accurate, with AI centers taking water from aquifers affecting other districts, such as the El Paso Meta Center drilling 2,000 feet into the Carrizo Wilson Aquifer that will affect 66 districts. With all this missing water consumption totals, how can any viable water plan be constructed and be accurate? The stakes are high. Misinformation may result in running out of water. And as the fast mega-sized data centers are built, plus the large number planned, a five-year plan cannot be reliable nor feasible, and it is insufficient for an industry that changes quarterly and builds in months. Replace all periodic planning cycles with continuous adaptive monitoring. Require real-time data feeds from data center operators. Establish dedicated staff with authority to adjust requirements and conditions without waiting for the next meeting, next planning cycle, or legislative session. If a planning document is published or on a fixed schedule, it is already outdated by the first time it reaches the printer. Before approving any water plan, all large water consumers, including not only existing AI data centers, Tesla, and crypto mining companies, but also applicants, must provide detailed projections of both water, direct water consumption for cooling, and indirect water consumption power generation, including seasonal peak estimates. Otherwise, any plan will fall short of reality. We Texans will pay the dire consequences when our water is depleted from poor planning. Texas water strategies must change to keep up with these fast-growing businesses. Texas resources are being stressed and challenged with these new water-guzzling companies, combined with continued drought, extreme heat, and increased population. Will it take AI and companies like Tesla to consume all of our water for their expansion, only to go out of business and leave us high and dry? Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next, I have Andy Weir. Andy, you want to make verbal comment as well with your written? Okay.
Good morning. My name's Andy Weir. I'm the citizen in Bastrop County. And I'm executive director for the Simsboro Aquifer Water Defense Fund. And we work in Bastrop, Lee, Burleson, Milam, Brazos, Robertson counties, Fayette County. So I want to repeat some of my comments that were made when we started the plan in 2022, because I think they're relevant. They weren't all necessarily implemented. And that is the relationship between the Colorado River and the aquifer. The main aquifer running through here is the Carrizo-Wilcox, and there's a direct relationship. Currently, the Carrizo-Wilcox donates significant amount of water to the Colorado River, especially in Bastrop County. It provides the essential flows. So during the drought, all that flow you saw was water contributed from the Carrizo-Wilcox. As we begin to pump the Carrizo-Wilcox harder to send water to San Antonio, to Georgetown, other projects outside of Region K and outside of this groundwater district, that contribution from the Carrizo to the Colorado will be reduced. And that relationship, instead of water coming into the river, we predict the computer models that we run through Water Development Board show that relationship reversing sometime around 2040 to 2060, depends on how hard we pump it. And so then the contribution is going to be from the river to the outcrop area of the Colorado. So to add to that, currently the Colorado, the amount, the percentage of treated effluent that's in the river below Austin is anywhere from 20% to 80%, depending on the stage flow. So when we're in drought conditions, we got about 80% treated effluent in the river. So in the future, when we begin to take water out of the river into the aquifer, that's what we're taking. Texas Water Association conference last year, Carollo engineers presented that there's a direct one-to-one correspondence between PFAS and PFOS contaminants and the amount of treated effluent in your stream. And so as you increase the amount of treated effluent, you increase the amount of PFAS. And that's a regulated entity now with EPA. There's more than a dozen public water, about two dozen public or municipal water supply systems that will use Colorado River water below Austin as their source. And so in their strategies, when you do your water planning, if you have a strategy to increase water treatment or some municipal supply, and they're going to use alluvial wells or surface water, you're going to have to factor in the cost of treating for PFAS for that public water supply. So just things to have in this round of development. We didn't have those EPA, they're enforceable now, PFAS regulations. We didn't have that in the last cycle. You're going to have that in this cycle. So look at conjunctive use. The more you pump the aquifer, the less surface water you're going to have. And then the less surface water contributed from the aquifer, the higher the concentration of treated effluent in the river and the cost to all of those water supply units downstream. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. All right. Next, I have Rick Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, if you would like to come up to the podium. And please state your name, and we appreciate your comments.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Rick Schroeder, and I am the city administrator for the city of Johnson City. So I'm coming to y'all today with not a prepared statement, but more observations on the 2026 plan that is currently in place for Region K. What is concerning to the city of Johnson City is the projected populations for Blanco County. Specifically, those are on page 2-4 and 2-9 of the current Region K plan. Blanco County is projected from 2030 to 2080 to decrease population by approximately 800 persons. And then the municipal water demand projections for Blanco County are expected to decrease from 1620 to 1537. Both of those are anywhere from a 1 to a 2% reduction over the course of 50 years. That simply is not indicative of what we are seeing in our city in the way of population, development, and things of that sort. And so what we are concerned about is that not only is that going to impact our ability to garner additional groundwater permits that we need for our municipal water system, but it's also going to impact our ability for water and wastewater grants through the Texas Water Development Board, because we assume that population is a consideration where there's greater need, more money goes. In 2023 and 2025, we actually sent to the Texas Water Development Board our capital improvements plan. Actually, we sent it to Friesen Nichols, who was working on y'all's behalf in development of the plan. The point of us sending the capital improvements plan was to show the amount of developments that we have planned, that are on the books, that are actually under construction, so on and so forth, but they declined to at least incorporate some of our capital improvements plan numbers in the plan because Texas Water Development Board, according to Fries and Nichols, would not accept the CIP projections as a replacement for the draft projections. That's concerning to us because we are actually the boots on the ground and we know what developments are occurring in our city. Also in 2022 and 2024, we developed, as I said, the capital improvements plan. Those population projections through 2034 were established by assigning anticipated development densities to undeveloped properties and those with redevelopment potential within the city limits and its extraterritorial jurisdiction. Such densities were based on the city's comprehensive land use plan, our zoning code, active development interest, and ongoing construction projects. To include, and again, this is Johnson City, so we're much smaller than many of y'all, but these are big developments for us, a 70-plus single-family residential subdivision. That's just phase one. There's four phases planned, a new Johnson City ISD middle school, and an apartment complex consisting of 400-plus units. That 400-plus unit complex will more than double could potentially increase the population of the city of Johnson City by 25 to 50%, which is significant for a small town such as ours. The city's population is expected to increase to 4,790 persons by 2090 and 9,180 persons by 2034. We're currently at sitting around 2,000 people in the city of Johnson City, so that's a considerable increase over the next 10 to 20 years. Additionally, we look, when we're looking at water demand and population that we're going to need over the next 10 to 20 years, we're looking at new taxable values that have come into the city. New taxable values mean that you have additional building, you have additional people in the community. We're also looking at the increase in residential and commercial building permits. Vehicular traffic counts. We're now at about 18,000 vehicles coming through 290 and 281 through our city. That's a significant increase. Under water demand projections, under that capital improvements plan, essentially the water demands due to population growth are going to outpace per capita reductions in water demand. And based on this, the public water system's average increase in required gallons per year is about 18% year over year. Since 2020, the city's population, both in itinerant, meaning tourist related, and permanent in nature, has increased. New taxable value increases indicate increased development activity and building permits throughout the city's jurisdiction. And this, of course, results in additional utility connections in both meter quantity and size, which means that we are going to have to continually increase the amount of water that we're pumping to facilitate that growth and to meet demand. So I would just ask this planning group to look at the population projections again and perhaps rely more on local knowledge about the conditions on the ground rather than what the state demographer or some other entity says. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. All right. I'd like to open this up to, does anybody have any public comments that they would like to present to the group that has not put in a request to speak? Anybody? All right. Seeing none, we appreciate all public comments, and please consider coming to every planning group meeting that you can through this planning process. We do take every public comment very, very seriously and will be considered. Yes? We have to take the comments and then we can discuss. Yeah, we can only receive. Okay.
Are the public comments, are they going to be published?
Yes. Yes.
We'll include the comments in our notes or our minutes for the meeting.
Yes, absolutely. This is a public hearing and it is being recorded and it will be in written form as well. Okay. And then we can discuss as we're moving along. Oh, absolutely. We're going to have to address the comments. Okay. All right. If there are no other public comments, I will adjourn the public hearing. It is 10:26. Does anybody need to take a break? It's been 26 minutes. No? Okay. I will officially open the regular business meeting of the Region K Water Planning Group. It is 10:27, and I call this to order. Do we need to go through the introductions again? I welcome everybody. Please stay. It should not, should be very, very interesting for everybody. I see that we have all of the same representatives in place as there were at the public hearing. Reflect that in the attendance. All right, item number three. We will receive public comments specific to issues related to agenda items 4 through 11. Public comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Are there any public comments for agenda items 4 through 11? It's hard for me to turn. I'm getting old. Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to item number 4, membership. I will turn this over to Teresa for the attendance report.
Thank you. Let's see, if you will turn in your packet to agenda item number 4, we have the attendance report from our last meeting. We want to make sure and capture the attendance correctly, so please review and let me know if you have any changes or updates that need to be made. Otherwise, we can just conclude that component, unless anyone has any questions.
And to piggyback on that, I do remind everyone, including our visitors, we have sign-in sheets. If you have not signed in as of yet, please do so prior to leaving today. Do we have any other planning group with any comments or anything regarding attendance? All right. I like this. Moving on. Item number 5, approval of minutes from the January 16th, 2026 planning group meeting. I'm certain everybody has had a copy and had some time to review those. If you need, I will give you just a little bit to kind of go over those real quick, and then ask for the group's preferences.
Move approval as presented.
All right.
Second.
Who gave us a second? David? So Daniel and David.
Okay.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes of the January 16th, 2026 meeting? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right. Earl. Okay. Item number 6, a report on the Request for Qualifications Committee recommendations. And I will turn it over to Earl Foster, the committee chair.
All right. Thank you, David. The committee met on June 15, 2026. This was a public meeting held at the LCRA Redbud Center. I chaired the meeting. Carol Olwin is there, David Van Dresser, Christy Ann Castleberry, Monica Masters, Teresa Lutz, Marissa Flores as an alternate, Greg McGregor, he was on video on the Zoom, Emily Rafferty, Collins Balcombe, Joshua Davila, and Marianne Baker was also an alternate. So thank you all for showing up. We did have some public, a couple people there, and I don't think I missed anybody other than the people that were there for the public. I just want to say thank you to the committee and LCRA staff for the work they contributed towards the procurement process. The request for qualifications was posted on April 30th, 2026 and closed on May 26, 2026. Two responses were received, one from Black & Veatch and another from Plummer Associates. The scoring and criteria developed prior to posting the RFQ were firm experience, personnel experience, registered Texas professional engineers, project approach, and exceptions to the terms and conditions. We scored each applicant individually and discussed the scores to determine a recommendation. All applicants were highly qualified. I can't say enough about the qualification. But with that said, Black and Veatch ultimately is the one we're recommending for the process. So,
all right.
That's my report.
Thank you, Earl. Are there any questions for Mr. Foster? David.
Earl, are there any other firms on the Black and Veatch team? Is it a team effort or just them?
Say that again.
Are there other sub-consultants on the Black and Veatch team?
Yes. I didn't note them, though, but yes.
I don't need to know. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Both applicants, it was team efforts on both sides.
Yeah. That both had team, yeah.
Yes. All right. Any other questions? Go ahead.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about why y'all chose Black and Veatch versus the other candidate, just so we know, because is the plumber team, was that a team that is mostly consultants that were part of the team that did the planning cycle we just completed? Was that Plumber and
Freeze
and Nichols?
They were in town.
Okay. So that team, so we're making a switch.
Hold that right there.
Yeah.
This is opening item number 7, discussion.
What?
We're opening item 7.
Okay.
Now we can discuss.
Thank you.
So.
They're so complicated.
No, I like checking off the items on the thing. All right.
I know you
so
like
now we can discuss
meeting.
It.
That was just my report, and now we can discuss
oh,
it.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
Again, highly qualified across the board, my opinion. Have worked with each one of these in my incredibly long experience in this business. So it makes it very difficult, and as we were discussing during that meeting, it comes down to small things, not the big things. Highly qualified, every single person. What I found was interesting was that instead of getting, you know, 4 or 5 submissions for the request, a lot of the firms they've teamed up together, and I think that just pools the talents, and to now we have to choose between two entities that are, you know, two Super Bowl winners, and then you have to choose which one you're going to root for on this game. So it comes down to small things. I believe that, and the rest of the committee can correct me, they were neck and neck until the very last item, which was, I believe this was implementation. And that's where nuances started to be seen in what was recommended and different approaches to how they were going to work with the group, what their ideas were. And so that was, ultimately, it was a 1-point separation between the two of them. Actually, it was probably a 0.5 point. It's just that it was very, very small. So that is the biggest reason. It's about implementation. If the other committee members want to chime in with their opinions on this, that would be the reason. And ultimately, it followed right along the scoring that I was looking at myself. So, any of the other folks want to weigh in on that? Go ahead,
Ryan. I was going to answer your question, David. So, HDR, I see resumes for HDR and Hazen, and then there was another consultant, Susan Roth, that was on that on their submission.
This is Black and Veatch.
Black and Veatch, yeah. He was asking about who all was combined with them.
Okay. Other discussion.
What was your implementation? What stood out to you
as to why the Black and Beach were superior on implementation?
Personally, when I was doing the scoring, each one spoke of more participation with rural outreach. And that was, being from Fayette County, and a lot of the folks that are from small areas appreciated that. What kind of put one over the top from the other was actually discussion about forming a small entity and rural subcommittee to get to the bottom of a lot of the more rural and small communities. And having a separate committee in the planning group for that. And I think that was what probably affected how I looked at each one of those. Again, they both spoke on it. But that, for myself, was one of the key factors. Questions or discussion? Shoot, I don't mind. Go ahead, Christiane.
I'll add, I'm going to be echoing the exact same thing, but really the stake, both were amazing, and it was the most difficult decision for me. Similarly, the stakeholder engagement, our plan is only as good as we have the information coming to us. So while both address stakeholder engagement, one was just, the Black and Beach one was very comprehensive in how that would be carried out and implemented. So
thank you.
And I'll make ahead, a Carol. Comment. What I noted is I liked Black and Beach, and when they were talking about the qualifications of their staff, there was more emphasis in flood planning. There was more experience there, and I think flood planning should be more incorporated into water planning. So that was my take on it.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Well, I appreciate the committee's efforts and everything y'all said. That was the one thing I've always been concerned about, was lack of participation or getting the information from our smaller towns and that, and if they can focus on that, that's a good
Absolutely.
Idea.
Absolutely. And I thought it was very, very interesting that they are. Both companies submitted a deep concern about getting more input from the rural side to really get the message out to the small municipalities and these kind of things to turn in the information that we're requesting, because let's face it, the further down you get on the river, it gets a little muddier in the data. So we need to
no pun intended.
No pun intended. But we need that information.
Yeah.
And that's the peripheral counties as well.
So with that, I'm going to make a motion to authorize the administrative agent to negotiate and enter into a consulting contract with a selected firm.
So Daniel made the motion.
I'll second that.
Earl. We have a motion and second to authorize the Region K administrative agent to negotiate and enter a consulting contract with the selected firm, which is Black and Veatch, and their subcontractors. Any more discussion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. That motion will approve, and congratulations to both of them. And let me personally thank both engineering firms for their excellent work in preparing the RFQ. We are very, very happy with your involvement with this, and either one would have served us perfectly. So, thank you. Yes.
I just want to thank you all for the committee for doing that work, and then also for taking the time to kind of articulate what helped you make the decision and stuff, because it gives us a good idea of kind of what to expect, but things that, that might be different, and kind of what's shown to y'all in that, since we weren't part of that process.
You bet.
Are they here?
Black and Veatch?
Yeah.
Black and Veatch, are you here?
Yeah.
They are here.
Congratulations.
All right.
We got one of those.
All right, moving on. Item number 8, our report from Texas Water Development Board, and I will turn it over to Lan for his report.
Just have a brief update on a few things that are going on. Next slide. For those of you who aren't connected closely to the, what's going on at the board, these are our, this is our board membership, current board membership. L'Oreal Stephanie has been there a while. Brady Franks is new, appointed last year, as is Ashley Morgan. Next slide. I wanted to put this slide up there. You may have seen it before, but this is the Water Supply Infrastructure Grant Program. Applications, the application period for those grants is open until July the 30th. And if you go, if you have any questions about whether you can go for a grant or whether you qualify or what the requirements of the grant are, we have all that information on the webpage under a FAQ document that's there, where we took all the questions and developed answers for them. You have to be a political subdivision, for example. You can be a water district if you were created under Chapter 52 and some other chapter of the state code. So those kinds of questions are answered on that FAQ document. Next slide. This is relative to our last state water plan. We're still working on getting that approved. We had a public hearing and took comments on the state water plan that were accepted through May 29. A public hearing was held on the 27th of May. And the next slide, please. I guess I forgot to put a slide in there. But anyway, the board is going to consider the state water plan in July, I think July 27th, at a board meeting. And the plan this year is kind of unique it's going to be adopted twice. The first plan adoption is for like a high-level executive summary version of the state water plan. We'll do that on the 27th. And then in September, I think, we're working on the full, massively detailed version of the plan that will be finally adopted by the board at that later date. And that gets us, one advantage of doing that is that we have a state water plan that's used in consideration of loan applications this next month, so that we can move forward with evaluating relative to that new state water plan. As you recall, last time we had an interregional planning council that was attended by one member of this planning group to kind of direct questions and ideas that all the planning group should think about. And we're getting ready to start that process for this new planning cycle. So the nominations will start in the next fiscal year, so 2027. We'll work with the planning groups on the nominating process and the timing for the next interregional planning council. And part of what we're working on ultimately is a recommendation to remove the requirements for the planning council from statute, so that it's not a statutory requirement that we have an interregional planning council. And that was a recommendation from the previous interregional planning council. So that's just what's going on. Next slide. This is just where we are right now in the general timeline for the seventh cycle. We're just past June, in the latter part of June here. We're working on the contracts. We'll be moving forward with those contracts next month with the political subdivisions. Hopefully those contracts will be executed by September with the political subdivisions. And then we'll start the cycle in the fall, winter with some meetings, and all of that will be prior to technical work. Now, we're in it. This region is in advance. We've held the pre-planning meeting already today, so we won't need to do that. We'll just wait for data to start being delivered, population and later demand data, but population data first. So that's where we'll be for the rest of the year. Next slide. And that was it. Any questions?
Yes, Lynn, I have one. There was something is coming up here pretty soon regarding water supply corporations and a $50 million grant program for them with public comments, I think, running through the 17th, probably the 17th of July. I can't remember. I got this email like last week. So. Do we have any information?
I'm not familiar with it, units? But if any programs that we have, if you go to the financial page, right. Go to the development board and then click on the financial tab, they list all the programs and you can just select. Right. If you don't know the name of it, you'll have to look through a bunch of them. But
fantastic. Thank you. Any other questions for Lynn?
I have one. I've got that notification about the grants, and I sent it out to some of the local water providers to see if they had interest in looking at that, rural-type providers. And the feedback I got was disappointing because they read the paperwork and they found that they were not eligible because they're a private company. And that strikes me as... It appears to be a gap in the system because the people there's a lot of these in the rural area that are supported by private companies. So what's the Water Development Board thought about those people? Are they being left out of this process because they happen to be being supported by a private water supply company?
Well, I don't know exactly what the board thinks about it, but that grant program was initiated by the legislature. And so they designed the program, designed the eligibility requirements. And if those people were not eligible, then I don't know why they are not eligible. I can't explain that.
It's to be a kind of a bias against... We don't want to give public money to a private company. I can understand that.
Yeah.
But the realities are that a lot of communities are served by these private entities. So if I just want to raise that, it was a bit of a frustration to find out that this one-time grant opportunity is there, but not for us. So I'd wish you to maybe take... I understand the legislature process, but on the other hand, you know, when people were designing this thing, the question is, what was the purpose? Was it to serve everyone, in which all the rural areas? And I think maybe this is something we can discover as we reach out to rural, find out how widespread is this? You know, I happen to know about it in a few areas, but I can't speak to how significant that would be. But it just struck me as an unintended outcome of the process to not serve the people that happened to be in a situation where they were being served by a private entity. Thank you.
Yep.
Also, them getting in touch with the finance department or that financial page on the Water Development's website, there should be a contact number there, and maybe they do qualify for one of the programs. It's just which one do they qualify?
Yeah, they can qualify for some of the other programs. They just don't qualify for this grant program
right. That
was initiated by the legislature. Right.
All right. Anything else for Lane? Excellent. Moving on. Item number 9, our liaison reports. Do we have any liaisons that need to report to us today? Regarding liaisons, and there was a question that was brought up, we have some openings with the liaisons. There are some positions we need to fill. And so at our next meeting, I think we need to address some of those liaisons and make certain that we have folks that are there. Verify the ones that we have, and ensure that all of our liaison positions are filled up. So we'll be bringing that this next meeting. All right. Number 10 is the financial report. And okay, Monica's not here. All right. So the financial report is part of your packet. It looks like that the Region K members fund balance is about $1,494 and a few cents. And then our sponsor administrative expense budget, we have an ending balance on that one of $14,235.64. And that is the finances for right now. Do we have any questions that I can't answer? All right. Any questions on the financial report, direct them to Monica, and she will be happy to answer them for you. I will let you know that. All right, item number 11, location and date for the next meeting. Lynette, what do we have open? September 16th, 10 a.m. here. Is that good for everybody? September 16th? At 10 o'clock. No. You can't make.
Every third Wednesday, I'm sitting
for me. All right. Well, we may have to have it without you. Send your alternates. All right. So right now what we have is this location is opened on September 16th, and the meeting will be at our normal time of 10 a.m. All right, do we need any committee meetings scheduled prior to that point? Anybody?
So I have a question since the bylaws committee. I can get with you afterwards as far as direction, but do we need to schedule something now or just wait?
Let's wait until then. I don't think we have anything that's pressing right now. We've already filled vacancies within the group that I know of. And so then, yes, we'll need to discuss it as we move forward. Thanks, Daniel. All right. Anything further on that? Future agenda items. We're going to start. September is the start of the seventh round. So I encourage everyone to be here. Let's kick this thing off appropriately. I apologize to those that cannot be here, Jennifer. I apologize. And Daniel, sorry. But going to be a great meeting. I don't have anything that I need to put on that right now. Carol, go ahead.
Well, I have an interest in this cloud seeding that we heard a little bit about in the last cycle. So if we can bring that into this upcoming cycle, I'd be interested in hearing about it.
Okay. We'll try and get somebody scheduled up in the coming meetings. Anybody else for future items? All right. Seeing none. Let me open up item number 13. I'd like to ask for public comments. We'll limit these to 3 minutes per person. You can talk to us about anything from the weather to the soccer matches. Anybody have any comment? Yes, ma'am. Shannon?
Here?
Oh, sure. You want a mic? Or can you reach the back of the room? Yes.
Okay. Good Southern woman, we can project. Got to do it at the kids. So I would like to request that we bring, I know Jason Homan brought up previously, somebody needs to come in and talk to this committee about what is a safe yield versus a firm yield before we start planning. And if we could please add that to the list, I think that would be helpful for everybody to understand what does that mean. I did a very high overview, but somebody can do much better service to that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Well, I appreciate everybody being here. I'm to the adjournment stage of things now, as I always like to be. And I have got 10:57, if that's all right with everybody. I will adjourn the meeting. It's 10:57. I appreciate everybody being here. We'll see you on the 16th of September.
Yes, yes. Nice to meet you as well.
Hey, Ann.
How are you?
Okay, how have you been?
I think I'm okay.